It's the 14 May of 03, Wednesday night. We're in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, depression, why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And tonight, we're going to take up the seventh and final ahead of the seven-headed dragon, or the stronghold of the soul. Let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is that the Holy Spirit can guide us through this and allow us to see the things that He would have us to see, relate to ourselves and to understanding of ourselves and stress, anxiety, depression as it relates. Let's pray. It's true, but it's so sad, Heavenly Father, that so many Christians in America live their life under stress and anxiety and depression. And the sadness is, Heavenly Father, that we do not have to, regardless of the circumstances of life. We just don't have to. I pray, Father, that tonight the Spirit will be the one speaking in regard to the seventh head, source of stress, anxiety, and depression. And that this message will get into the hands of those believers, those Christians who experience these things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've covered seven strongholds of the soul. We've covered fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, hate, jealousy, guilt, and shame. And now we come to the seventh head of our seventh head dragon, or the seventh stronghold, and it is arrogance. The most powerful of all the strongholds of the soul is arrogance. Arrogance leads... The thing about arrogance is that it does two things. Number one, it leads to putting others under the pressure of stress, anxiety, and depression. Arrogant people love to control others. They love to control others by stress and depression that they impose on a multitude of Christians. But at the same time as that, due to arrogance, Christians put themselves under great stress and depression to themselves. Now, here's your question. Why would anyone choose to live under Satan's lie? Now, we have done a lot with Satan's lie in this class, and it's served in other classes and other observations, and will for some time. Let's look at Satan's lie. Here's Satan's lie that we have been studying for quite some time now, is that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, especially certain other people's opinion of me. Why would anyone want to live under that? Why would someone choose to live under a performance system? Rather than, here's a great goal fixed, rather than God's plan, here's God's truth. We'll call this God's truth. Ooh, got a thing going here. Here's Satan's lie, and here's God's truth. And God's truth is this, grace through faith. In other words, God gives to us based on His character, based on our just receiving it by faith. Now, if you can get something totally free just by trusting God, or you can choose to work for it by your self-performance, others' opinion of you, why would anyone choose to accept, to live under the performance standard of Satan's lie than to just accept it through grace? And the answer, people, arrogance of the flesh. I want to perform. I want to perform for God. I can perform. Man is drawn. Our very nature is drawn to a performance standard. In fact, he prefers, people, the law system sounds so good because we prefer it. We prefer the law system. This is what we prefer. Come on in. How y'all doing tonight? Carl didn't even recognize you as a blonde. What we're doing in the middle of studying Satan's lie, we've come to the seventh head of arrogance, and we're looking at why anyone would choose Satan's lie of my self-worth as my performance plus others' opinion of me over God's truth, which is just receive it by grace through faith. And the reason someone would choose the performance system is because of arrogance. In fact, man prefers arrogance. Why does man see law? I mean preachers and people. Why do they see law throughout all of the Bible? Because people, that's what they want to see, rather than grace. Arrogance is the way that many believers read the Bible. He sees do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, here a little, there a little. The Abrahamic covenant, God said, I will give you the land. I will give it to you. Just cross Jordan, just cross the Red Sea, cross Jordan, I will give it to you. No, they wanted the law. Look with me, if you will, at a couple of verses to kind of just set us off. Man actually prefers a performance standard. He prefers it. It sounds right to him. I've got to have some part of my salvation. Man has to do something. That just sounds right to man. That we would do for it. That we would work for it. So let's look at a few passages. Let's start with Exodus 19. Let's start with Exodus chapter 19. And let's look at verse 8. Exodus 19, verse 8. Moses coming down with the law, talking about the law. And all the people answered and said to him, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The arrogance of man. We can perform for God. We're going to do for God. We're going to do all of these things. Please turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Now, you've already had it once. Now, let's see it again. Exodus 24. Verse 3, then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Arrogance. People, they didn't want it by grace. We're not going to cross Jordan. That's why they're in the wilderness. Just give it to us. Now, Joshua and Caleb wanted it by grace. They didn't want to have to work for it. But the people preferred to work for it, to earn it. They wanted to earn. Look at verse 7. Same thing, same deal, but look down at verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And look what it says. We will be obedient. We will obey. And that's what most preachers think of when they think about obedience in the Bible. This is what it's referring to. Doing all these things for God. We've got to obey. Man loves a performance system. We prefer it. And that's why man is a nervous wreck all through history and a mess. Let's try another one. One more. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5 is probably one of the most important chapters in dealing with the Mosaic Law, by the way. It's the chapter that lets you know it was not God's intent for them to live under it. One of those chapters and very few people pay attention to, but it's so real, just to give you that little hint. Look at in chapter 5, verse 3, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. He did not make this with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Abrahamic covenant is very simple. The Abrahamic covenant is trust me. I'll give it to you. Righteous shall live by faith. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. But all those of us alive here today. And then it goes on for in the wilderness. Never intended for us to live, for them to live under the law, but that's what we choose. Now, verse 27. Verse 27, go near and hear all the Lord our God says, then speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear it and do it. Man prefers a performance system. He prefers it. That's why when he reads the Bible in Isaiah 28, we won't turn to it right now, but Isaiah 28, they open the Bible, do and do, rule and rule, here a little, there a little. They want to perform until they find out they can't perform. In arrogance, man thinks he can perform for God. And all this is going to lead to, as we're going to see, is a horrible case of stress and depression. That's why God says in Isaiah 28 that they may go and fall backward, be taken slaves, and all of the things that are going to happen once you try and you can't do it. You cannot do it all. I mean, this is total arrogance. We will do all of it. We will be able to obey all of it. Impossible. But arrogance will try. Okay. People, there's so much that we could do about arrogance in dealing with stress, anxiety, depression, and spend a long time on it. I'm not going to do that. But I am aware of the fact of how many Christians do experience stress and depression for a multitude of reasons, and it's all related to the performance system. But arrogance is at the heart. So let's spend some time that we do need to spend. First of all, let's get an idea of the source of arrogance. That's where I want to start with this. It's where we started almost our study on stress, anxiety, depression. The source of arrogance, and those of you that are listening to the tapes or internet, that are hurting. I know it's tough to take notes, but if you think your way through with me with notes, points, it'll help you. So let's note a few points. We have not labored you with them, but I want you to think your way through and show you how arrogance is hard and why when you do suffer from stress and depression, it's arrogance. I know you don't think so, but it's arrogance. So let's take a look. One, arrogance. Pride, all these words, I've come to a lot of different words we have for it. Arrogance is a basic fundamental problem of every member of the human race. People, it is why people who experience arrogance have to control. They have to control. It is just fundamental to the very nature of the human race. It arises from the very existence of mankind. Of rational creatures. The very fact that man exists, the very fact you exist leads to arrogance. Now point two. Let me give you an example, because this is so important to get this down and understand why arrogance and where it comes from and how every one of us are arrogant. Don't ever deny that you're arrogant. We're all arrogant. That's part of the nature of our flesh nature. Give you an example. I'm going to deal with arrogance and existence so that you'll understand it. The existence and the awareness of your own existence. And the best place to see this is in God, knowing God. First of all, we know that God is. That is, that God exists. Therefore, we have the great I Am. And from there to the existence of the attributes of God. How does He exist? He who comes to God must believe that God is, that God exists. So if we come to God, we believe that God exists. Not just some concept, but that God exists. And then we have all of the attributes of God's existence, sovereignty, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence. Now, how God behaves. So he who comes to God, the passage says, must believe that God is. So we believe that God is. That's why we come to God. Then how does God behave? God is the rewarder of those who seek Him. God is the rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, because God exists, people, this is very important. I know you may not see how it's going to relate to stress, but just stay with me. Because God exists, love exists. Because God is love. So from the essence of God, we learn some things about existence of ourselves. And this is especially true if you're going to understand arrogance and why arrogance in mankind and why arrogance must be the one in total control, recognizing our own existence. Arrogance is the source of stress, anxiety, depression, or sad, because arrogance must always be in control. Now, coming off of point two, let's go right to point three. Arrogance in man finds its source in the very existence of man. You can't get away from it. Arrogance in man. We're arrogant because we exist. Arrogance finds its source in the very existence of man. Now, arrogance arises at man's awareness of his own existence. And all this may seem a little heavy, but it's so important. It's going to help us in understanding why we have stress, anxiety, depression, and the solution. So, arrogance arises, man's awareness, it arises as man becomes more aware of his own existence. The more we are aware of our existence, the more arrogant we will become. The more self-centered we become. Every one of you mothers know this from rearing a little infant. As it becomes more aware of itself, it becomes more demanding of itself. We exist. We are. Arrogance comes from the fact that we are, that we exist. Now this is going to sound philosophical, but it's so important, so just stay with me. We not only exist, but we know we exist. Now that means concentration, thought. Now what is the solution we studied? That will keep him in perfect peace is what? His mind is stayed on him. So look what I'm saying here. We not only exist, but we know, we think, we are conscious of our existence in our mind. Now I'm going to go to a French philosopher here, also a mathematician, scientist, all kinds of things. His name is René Descartes. Now, he stated it, this principle we're looking at concisely, and we're going to play off of it in his discourse on method, point four, Roman number four. And he said, cogito ergo sum. Now, what he said was, I think, therefore I am. And all of you have heard that in seriousness and in humor. I think, therefore I am. In the same section, Descartes went on, and please get this down if you're taking notes and thinking through with me. This one's important. I can conceive all else not existing, but I cannot conceive that I do not. I can conceive all else not existing, but I could not conceive that I was not. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about it. If that's a snake or an animal, I want to close out the back door when I leave here. That's a lot of noise. Okay. I can conceive all else not existing, but I could not conceive that I was not. Now, I want you to think about what he's saying here. A person can conceive that God does not exist. It's very easy. It is very easy to conceive that God does not exist. It is easy to conceive. Take a look around, Angel. Oh, okay, come on in. My goodness, excuse me. Mondi and Pam. All right. Mr. and Mrs. Douglas, come right on in. Well, how was your honeymoon?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Wonderful, good. Well, that was a great wedding. That was a great wedding and a great festive time. Enjoyed meeting both of y'all's families, and that was festive. Very good. That was very festive. We're glad to have y'all back. Yeah, all right. Okay. We're dealing with the seventh stronghold of the soul, which is arrogance. And we have just noted French philosopher René Descartes' statement, I think, therefore I am. And also, I can conceive all else not existing, but I could not conceive that I was not. And he's right, people. A person can conceive that God does not exist, but that I do. A person can conceive that Satan does not exist, but that I do. A person can even conceive that you being someone in their life, do not exist. But arrogance will not allow us to conceive that we ourselves do not exist. People, I'm coming into this. It sounds like a little philosophical and all, but we're going to get right to the solution, stress, anxiety, depression. And the heart of it comes from arrogance. Okay. Because of arrogance, arrogance will not allow us to conceive that we ourselves do not exist. So when you give the gospel, just remember that the person you're speaking with, they can actually conceive of eternal existence of themselves, with or without God. They can do that. Aristotle did that. You can conceive your eternal existence with or without God. And what you have to do is present the alternatives. Their eternity without God, their eternity with God. Descartes noted another point that is helpful to remember in our study in Isaiah. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. Descartes says, to think is necessary to be. Quote, to think is necessary to be, end quote. I'm going to jump my notes. I don't know why. I had it all laid out to develop this, but I just sense I need to jump right to it. Let's take a look. To think is necessary to be. Okay. To think is necessary to be. Okay, people, you get to choose. You can think of your own self-existence in Christ or without Christ. In other words, in the flesh. This is what you can do. Now, we're going to have to go back somewhere in our study in arrogance and deal with that passage. The mind that is stayed on him, he, God, will keep in perfect peace. You want to be free from stress, anxiety, and depression? How do you think about your existence? Do you think about your existence? Because in order, when we come to our existence, it's thought. To think is necessary to be. So I think about my being. I can think about my being in the flesh, or I can think about my being in reference to who I am in God, and who I am in Christ. It is necessary to think. It is necessary to think as a human being, a rational creature. It is necessary to think as a new spiritual creation. People, did you hear what I said? It's necessary to think either way. You have to think as a new spiritual creation, thought. Who am I in Christ? What am I in Christ? What does that mean? How is that going to relate to stress and depression? Who I am in Jesus Christ. Who I am in God. Who I am in His love. Christ is going to, we'll see when we close out our study, because we're getting ready to do that, but abide in my love. How do I perceive who and what I am when I abide in His love in my thought process, or in the flesh? In the flesh. How do I perceive and conceive my own understanding? So it is necessary to think, whether you're talking about in the spiritual realm, who you are in Christ, or in the physical realm. It is necessary to think as a new spiritual creation. We have a mindset. Is your mindset that we studied before? Is your mindset who you are in Christ in relationship to the being of God, or without Him? If it is without Him, let me just tell you right now, if it is without Him, stress, anxiety, and depression, control, Now let's go to point four. Let's go to point four. If people came in late, let's just quickly go through where we are. Point one, arrogance is basic fundamental problem of every member of the human race. It arises from the very existence of man. Because you and I exist, arrogance exists. Secondly, we took the understanding of our issue here from the talking about existence, from the existence of God. First of all, we know that God exists. Then we deal with how does God behave. Knowing that He exists is I am. How does He behave? God is a rewarder of those who will seek Him. Then we know that because God exists, there is love, because God is love. Point three, arrogance in man finds its source in the very existence of man, in our very existence. Very existence gives us this arrogance. Now, come to point four. That man is, that man exists, and is aware of his existence. This becomes his reality. Becomes his reality. Man can forget all things around him except I am. I exist. All that matters is my existence. Therefore, the illusion of control, people. This is where the illusion of control comes from. And we've well documented that control is an illusion. A husband thinks he can control his wife. Wives think they control their husbands. Parents control children. We control one another. My boss is a control freak. This person, we're all control freaks in the flesh. We're all control freaks. It's an illusion. Why? Because we live in a reality that we are reality. That our existence is all that matters. The I am of ourselves. Point five. Add to this. This is important. Add to this, that man also becomes aware of the fact that his existence is irrevocable. His existence is irrevocable. His existence is and cannot not be. It's become important in giving the gospel. Six. Now, such consciousness. Think about all that I've said. I know it sounds like philosophy, but just, well, I'm piling some things up on you. Now, point six, I'm going to start putting them together for you. Such consciousness. I exist. I think I exist. I know I exist. I exist apart from everything else. My existence is irrevocable. Such consciousness lays on mankind, on each of us individually, an awesome and frightening responsibility. And the first step in meeting this responsibility is arrogance. Arrogance is how I'm going to meet this awesome, frightening responsibility of my existence. Arrogance becomes the immune system to self. Arrogance is the immune system of the protection of our self-existence. I won't go through a long study early at all of the immune system. We know what an immune system is. It seeks to protect being. The most important principle, whatever else you may want to learn about immune system, the one essential issue about an immune system is recognition of self. An immune system must recognize self. If a foreign matter comes into your body, the immune system says that germ, that bacteria is foreign. But if it's part of our being, then the immune system says, it's okay, that's me. That's me. We won't destroy that, that's me. People have allergies. What is an allergy in there? Just the simplest form. It's a mess up with the immune system. It recognizes something as an enemy that's not. It comes in to protect. It causes a lot of problems that doesn't need to. So our immune system becomes very important, and essential to any immune system is recognition of self. Arrogance is the immune system of your flesh self. It is an awareness. This awareness produces this arrogance. All this is going to fall into place in our study of stress and anxiety and depression, with relating your existence in the flesh, your arrogance, to stress and depression. We're not just up here talking and senselessly. This is going to relate. Relating your existence to who you are in Jesus Christ, people. The more you are able to be conscious, think. Remember thought. Remember, I've said it now. I've laid out how thought is important to existence. The more you are able to think and be conscious of your existence and who you are in Christ, the more you will be relieved of sad, stress, and depression. You hear me? The more I'm able to perceive my existence, think of my existence, of who I am in Christ, that's who I am, you're going to find stress, anxiety, and depression going to the shadows. There's no such thing as reaching it fully, but when you do reach that point where day in and day out, you are able to think of your existence and who you are in Christ, you will find no stress, anxiety, and depression. This is what we're studying Tuesday night, I'm studying Revelation with the Church of Smyrna. How can you make it when you are in tribulation, poverty, and then there's going to be more tribulation, more poverty, taking of your home, taking of your possessions, throwing you in prison, even to the point of death? How are you going to be able to handle all of that? The more you're able to realize your conscious, be conscious, think of who you are in Christ, the more you're going to be able to do that. But the moment you start thinking about who you are in the flesh, how dare they do this to me? How can they do this to me? What are they doing to me? All about me, the stress and depression set in. It's where you think. It's where we're headed, this whole thing. It's what we're looking at. So all this is going to fall into place in our study of sad, of stress, and depression. That's a flesh thought process of my existence in the flesh. That's going to lead to arrogance and stress and depression. The more you start thinking about who you are in Jesus Christ, the more you're able to be conscious of your existence and who you are in Christ. I'm not this flesh person. I am who I am in Christ. Then the stress and depression go away. This also will lead you, when you're able to do this with your mind, perceiving your existence. Remember, I hope I'm saying it enough times, you're getting it now. Perceiving your existence in the flesh leads to arrogance. Perceiving your existence in Christ, you're going to discover reality. And we're going to deal with it. It's a difficult thing to understand, but I'll put reality over here, and over here on the left side, I'm going to put who I am in the flesh. Who I am in the flesh, this is arrogance. People, this is not reality. And when you live in what is not reality, you're going to experience SAD. When you live in what is reality, because people, this is who you are. You are who you are in Christ. That's who you are. And when you live who you are in Christ, when you're living in reality, this is living in reality. SAD is gone. Doesn't mean life isn't going to be tough. Long time ago in this study, I know I did. I used the analogy of a child's video that I watched in Tucson. I'll be going there in a couple of weeks to teach for a week. But there is a wonderful child's video on Moses. And Moses, for a long time, his self-existence was that he was an Egyptian Pharaoh heir. And then the movie did a great little job of when he started coming to the realization that, no, you're just one of these Hebrew slaves out here. And he went through this long song, and it was very well done. Who am I? Am I this Egyptian? Or am I really just one of these Hebrew slaves? And fighting with it. And as long as he fought with it, there was turmoil. And then he just accepted reality. Didn't make things easier, but it made it more difficult. But in his soul, okay, that's who I am. People, you get to the point, I am who I am in Jesus Christ. And then you start living in the reality. Because I'm here to tell you, you are not who you are in the flesh. That person will die, be left here on the earth, and does not have eternal life. When we receive our resurrected body at the resurrection, we leave all of this behind, the flesh nature behind. We are resurrected who we are in Jesus Christ. And when you start living in this reality now, where am I going to go with that? Where are you going to go with that? Take a look with me now. You live in reality. Now watch this. Your self-worth. That's where we started tonight. Satan's lie. Your self-worth has nothing to do with who you are in the flesh. Once you start living in reality, what is my self-worth? See, here we're going to get. Now, what is my self-worth? What is my self-worth? My self-worth in the flesh is performance plus other people's opinion of me. Your self-worth in reality is who you are in Christ. No performance. Minus performance. It's all the performance of God. And so you start relaxing when you live in reality. Your self-worth has nothing to do with who you are in the flesh, has nothing to do with your performance, has nothing to do with how much money you make, what you have, what you don't have, what you lose, what you don't lose, all these things related to the world. Before God, your worth is in Him. And the more you live in the realm of reality, that is, the more you live who you are in Christ, the less stress, anxiety, and depression of the flesh will torment you. Just start shifting away. I don't worry about those things. They're not important anymore. So we don't have stress about them anymore. Don't have stress about them. This is reality. And we want to learn to live in reality. Realizing your existence. Realizing your self-worth in who you are in Christ. Finding your self-worth in your spiritual existence. Now this is also important. Does not mean others will not hurt you. Does not mean others will not sin against you. It does not mean others will let you down, will not let you down. It doesn't even mean that you will not sin. It doesn't even mean that you will not let yourself down. But if your awareness, if your thought mindset is of your existence, of who you are in Christ, remember existence is thought. Existence is thought. That's why I started off with all that heavy stuff, so that you stay with me through this whole thing. How I think about my existence is going to be the key here. Think about my existence in Christ. Think about my existence in the flesh. So the more that you think of yourself and who you are, you're aware of your existence of who you are in Christ, then all these hurts, all these disturbances will not shatter your existence. Let me go to Smyrna. They're going to give them tribulation, suffering, poverty, no money. How are they going to handle all of that? It's not going to shatter their existence because they've got their mindset on who they are in Christ, even to the point of death. They know of the resurrection. So it will not cause you stress, anxiety, and depression in your soul. The thought process of existence is the key to whether or not you experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Point 7. As we as human beings, each of you, start putting together your existence And parents observe this in the, as they observe their infant children growing. As we start putting together our existence, and we start seeing this as parents and children, how they carry themselves, how they want to dress, how they want to handle themselves. Start seeing yourself. That we do exist, that we are. What our self-worth is. And add to that that awesome responsibility to think, to know, to understand, putting together all of these things. Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. How do you think about yourself, people? And that's the heart of point seven, is just a question. How do you think about yourself? Oh, I think about myself as who I am in Christ, but boy, I still suffer stress and depression. No, something's wrong. Your mindset is not on who you are. Your existence is not what you claim. And then point eight. This struggle, and it is a struggle, people, and we all experience it every day, of self-existence, can only be answered in a healthy way by being aware of and accepting your existence in Christ. The existence of God and your relationship with God. While it is true that God existed before man, this is not the order of our comprehension. While it is true that God existed before man, this is not the order of our comprehension. We become profoundly aware of our own existence first. We become profoundly aware of our own existence first, then of the existence of God. So we already start off behind the eight ball because we start off thinking and becoming aware of our existence without God. That's part of our whole problem. We start off thinking of ourselves without the being of God. God existed before, and we say like now, most all of us now sitting here tonight, we know God existed before man, but that's not the way we learned all of this. This is why it's so difficult to bring God into the equation of my existence. I've gotten along with thinking of my own existence without God. Now I've got to bring God into this thing. Where does it all fit? And in order to accept it correctly, I have to put myself decreased, as John says in John 3, and so that he increases in the importance of my own existence. Therefore, point nine. The opposite of arrogance is humility. Humility allows you to exist in the reality and in the relationship of the existence of God. Humility allows you to completely trust in Him, because that's what humility is, trusting Him. Humility allows you to accept who you are in Christ, apart from the flesh. And finally, point 10, under this aspect of our study. Arrogance, the awareness of self-existence outside of the existence of all else, relating everything to self. Therefore, the need to perform. Therefore, the need to control. Therefore, stress, anxiety, and depression. What I want to do now, having those things, we're doing the same thing we did with guilt and shame tonight. We're just laying down some things, and then we'll get into the text next week. But let's look at a brief definition of arrogance. That's difficult. Defining arrogance is difficult. Is very difficult to define. What is arrogance? We all have some basic idea of what arrogance is, but it's very difficult to define. I feel for all of you out there that are listening to this in other places, because if you're not a Texan, you're not in Texas. It's just difficult to not be arrogant when you're from Texas, and we don't call that arrogance. And we call that reality. But staying with the text, defining it. So let me just help you out. Let's look at some Hebrew or Greek words. I'm not going to give you Greek and Hebrew. What I did, just went through and looked at them. Here's what the words in Hebrew mean. Arrogance, majesty, haughtiness, pride, swelling, pomp. You'll even find it in the New American Standard translated pomp. Greek words have the same concept. Blow up, puffed up, inflate, arrogant, conceited. Arrogance, pride, is the quality or state of self-esteem, conceit. Simply stated, arrogance is having an opinion of yourself that is divorced from reality. Having an opinion of yourself that is divorced from reality. Two. Arrogance is creature without creator. Arrogance is creature without creator. Totally or in any degree. Point here is that even those members of the human race who desire to be saved and live with God forever, they still try to add merit, still try to add the works of man to being saved. I understand the being of God, but boy, they're still going to hold on to their own being. I've got to add something. That's why Isaiah talks about when they open the Bible, what do they see? Do and do, rule and rule, here a little, there a little. That's what they see. They want to see it. So, even though they desire to have a relationship with God, they still want to add some merit of man, some self-merit to their salvation, morality, inviting Jesus into your heart, making him Lord, all these kinds of things. And man carries this same arrogance into living the Christian life. Man, Christian now, believer, true believer, accepted Christ as Savior by faith, but in arrogance wants to add to living the Christian life. I've got to do my part. It's not just by faith alone. They understood faith alone and only at the cross, but now in Christian life, no, it's man again. We've got to get into the picture. Three, since arrogance is creature without creator, that's you without creator, that is without God, because I hope you realize anytime we're even though you want to deny it, What are we doing with God every time we sin? I got a better plan. That's what sin is. I got a better plan. I got a better plan than you. And I'm going to carry out mine. I got a better plan for me. So since arrogance is creature without creator, therefore, total dependency on self. I know what to do and I can do it. Therefore, people, arrogance is divorcement from reality. Because God does exist. But every time we sin, I got a better plan. I may even be doing it for you, like Job. But it's dependent on me. Therefore, arrogance is divorcement from reality. That's why you're out of reality. Now, you know what we could do? We could have a lot of fun if we wanted to. If you follow what I'm saying here, that arrogance is a divorcement from reality. And if you remember when we studied the five characteristics of the flesh nature, the last one was what? The flesh nature is insane. Beautiful. So how all this fits together. When I'm in the flesh, divorced from reality, when I perceive, let's get what we're saying, when I perceive of my existence as in the flesh, without God, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it my way, we are insane. We're not in reality. That's not reality. And that's what the passage meant by being insane. The divorce from reality. So people, if you desire to be free from SAD, from stress, anxiety, and depression, then your understanding, your thinking of your own existence, your own being, your own self-worth, demands that you live in reality. And the more you live in reality, the less you're going to experience SAD. A creature, man, can do nothing without creator. Faith, people, is reality. I need thee for every step. I need to trust in your spirit for everything that I do. every thought, every prayer, everything I do. When you walk by faith, you're living in reality of creatures dependent on Creator. That's reality. Four, so then finish up this definition before we have to close down tonight. Four, arrogance is high respect of self. A self-worth from mere existence. Therefore, when man fails, when we fail to perform by that standard, by that performance standard we set up, we fail to perform to the expectation, we fail to receive the praise and opinion of others that we want from them, arrogance collapses. Blame, fear, shame, guilt, anger, all these things we've been studying, all these other strongholds set into play. I've got something I want to show you next week, very important in dealing with that. Flesh self needs to have a positive, affirmative evaluation or estimation of self. Flesh self needs to have a positive affirmation, evaluation, or estimation of self, of one's own existence. Maybe real or unreal. But it must have a good self-worth, or stress, anxiety, and depression start setting in. But arrogance demands that you think good of yourself. Now, point five. Another very important principle of the stronghold of arrogance. Your estimation of yourself, how you see your own self-worth, impacts every area of your life, every relationship, husband-wife, parent-children, friendships, social life, work, church, and just in the goings and comings of life. I ought to get this kind of respect when I go into a grocery store. I ought to get this kind of respect when I go here or there. Your estimation of self has an impact in every area of your life. Every area. They ought to respect me this way. They ought to do this. Nobody ought to be able to do that, not treat me that way or not deal with me that way, and start attacking people that are just working in life. It impacts every area of your life, and even more important, that every relationship. This inner admiration of self will come to its surface. Six. There are different words that are associated with arrogance. Let's just note four of them. One, vanity. Vanity. Which is an arrogance that has no merit. There's no real value. Vanity is total insanity. Not that any arrogance is not, but this is just total. No, there's no substance to it whatsoever. Second one is pride. Inordinate arrogance. A delight of self-pleasing with one's being. The third is conceit. Excessive estimate or appreciation of oneself. I like that one. Excessive estimation and appreciation of oneself. And then the fourth one, egotism. An exaggeration of self-importance. An exaggerated sense of self-importance. And this will kick us off for next week, point seven. Very important in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression and the seven-headed dragon of the soul, arrogance never stands alone. It always has a counterpart. It is always associated with one of the other heads or strongholds that we've been studying. Jealousy, vindictiveness, bitterness, resentment, revenge, cruelty, self-pity. All of these All of these are partners with arrogance. It doesn't stand alone. That's why this one is so drastically horrible in stress, anxiety, and depression in our life. Okay, this is our introduction to this, and we will continue a little bit on arrogance. Not a great deal. We could spend a great deal of time, but we're not going to spend that much time. But let's say you're listening to this study, and I'm not here to sneak up on you, develop it, even though I will do that. Okay, boy, you've got me. I am arrogant. And I understand, I got to think of myself, who I am in Christ, but and how thinking is the deal, and that is extremely important. But how am I not arrogant? I want to leave you with this, because we're going to hear this all the way through, but I can't let you turn off this tape or leave right now if you do suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression from arrogance. What's the solution to it? The solution is very simple. The solution is spiritual love. Paul says that spiritual love is not arrogant. People, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. So just get that. I know some of you put away your notes, but just get that in your mind. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. No one makes a decision, I'm not going to be arrogant. That's arrogance. What you do is make a decision. I'm going to walk by faith in the Spirit and love as Christ loved. Because when love flows through you, you will not be arrogant. Why not? Love is not arrogant. His love will not allow you to be arrogant. So if you experience arrogance, and when you do experience arrogance, and we all do, we don't say, oh boy, I don't want to be arrogant. I got to stop thinking arrogant. I don't want to be. Well, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. You make a decision to walk by faith in the Spirit. He pours in the love, and the love is not arrogant. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our Creator, Creator of all things, but our Creator. You molded us, brought us into being, and breathed your life into us. We first became aware of our own being, and then Heavenly Father of yours. I pray, Father, that people listen, deal with the stress, anxiety, and depression, that come to realize that the more that we live in the existence of our mind and thinking of ourselves as who we are before you, who we are in Christ, Heavenly Father, that as we abide in His love, in your love, there's just no place to be sad or depressed, who we are in Christ. There's just no place. How can we be sad and depressed when we perceive our being of who we are in Christ? You've made it so simple. So simple. We don't need drugs, alcohol, $75 sessions, medicines. What we need to do is set our mind, thought process of who we are in Christ. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are. Not only are you our Creator, but you provided us everything necessary to enjoy our being. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in Christ's name. Amen.